Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shob, my colleague Pallav Bangla. With me, it is India's tryst with the moon. This time, tomorrow, India will have placed the Vikram lander, a key part of the Chandrayaan 3 mission, onto the surface of the moon. Once the moon dust settles, the Pragyan rover will emerge from the lander. And we should be able to see all of this through images sent out by ISRO. Touchdown of Vikram is expected at 6:04 p.m. tomorrow, and ISRO will start its live feed shortly after 5 p.m. of the final minutes before the actual touchdown, which is why you need to be watching NDTV. I assure you, we have the best experts from India and around the world, and our resident expert, Pallav Bangla, who's tracked Chandrayaan not just with me on television, but in terms of actually writing books. He's terribly nervous right now, and don't believe him for a moment when he says that he's not nervous, but he is. Anyway, tomorrow all day, we'll be tracking India's Chandrayaan moment. I'll be with you at 3 p.m. onwards, as will Pallav. It's going to be an incredible day for Indian science. It is all about science, right? I mean, ultimately, that's what we are trying
science
to work
and technology.
At. Science and technology. All right, science and technology, that's what it's all about. We'll be going through the mission today on this program and describing what has been described also as the 20 minutes of terror, at the end of which we will know if our moon mission is a success or not. So we'll be looking at that, but also on Left, Right and Center this evening, the Prime Minister is in South Africa for the BRICS summit. We'll be joined by the BRICS Sherpa in South Africa. The key official handling every aspect of this visit. Is BRICS still as relevant as it once was? Will there be a meeting between the Prime Minister and President Xi of China? All that coming up, but 20 minutes of terror. What exactly is that all about as far as Chandrayaan is concerned? The final countdown has begun, and that gets even more final when the 20 minutes of terror begins. Take a look.
Here we have a majestic liftoff of LTM-3 M4 rocket carrying India's prestigious Chandrayaan 3 spacecraft.
India's celestial 20 minutes of terror. India will go through a nail-biting 20 minutes of terror or a T20 finish.
Liftoff normal, fever tracking.
After a majestic liftoff, ISRO's Bahubali rocket put Chandrayaan 3 in the Earth's orbit.
200 stages are separated.
Chandrayaan 3 took many rounds of the Earth gaining velocity. On August 1st, 2023, Chandrayaan was nudged towards the moon on its 3.84 lakh kilometer lonely journey. On August 5th, 2023, the Chandrayaan satellite gently entered into the moon's orbit and settled in its embrace. In a crucial maneuver, the propulsion module and the Vikram lander with the Pragyan rover separated on August 17, 2023, when the satellite was in a 153 kilometer by 163 kilometer orbit. Soon, the Vikram lander is brought closer to the moon's surface in an elliptical orbit before the powered descent can begin. On the day of the landing, the 20 minutes of terror or the T20 kick in for a nail-biting finish. In the powered descent, the Vikram starts hurtling down towards the moon's surface at a velocity of 1.68 kilometers per second, which is nearly 6,048 kilometers per hour, almost 10 times the velocity of an airplane. Vikram is now slowing down with all four engines firing, but the lander is still almost horizontal to the surface of the moon. It then touches down on the lunar surface with just two engines firing, and the legs have been designed to take a maximum impact of 3 meters per second, or about 10.8 kilometers per hour. Once the sensors on the legs feel the surface, the engines are shut down and the 20 minutes of terror are over. India's flag reaches the moon surface. Subsequently, the ramp opens up, the Pragyan rover is rolled down. Once the Pragyan rover reaches the lunar surface, the rover is then free to move around the moon. The big moment arrives when the Vikram lander takes images of the rover and the Pragyan rover takes images of the lander. The first selfies by India from the lunar surface are then beamed back to India. Now, the real science can begin. The Vikram lander and the rover are both solar powered and are made to last one lunar day, which translates to 14 Earth days. In New Delhi, Pallav Bagla for NDTV.
Well, we've got some fantastic guests on this program today. Dr. Venkateshwar Sharma, former Deputy Director of ISRO. He was with ISRO till just a couple of months back. I suppose if you're with ISRO a couple of months back, you're essentially with ISRO for life, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? That sense of being with these great achievers in our science and engineering community. Dr. Srimathi Kesan, founder and CEO of Space Kids India. This is ultimately for the next generation. Let's not forget that. D. Raghunandan, researcher of the Delhi Science Forum, he's been waiting and he's been talking about space with me for years now. And Professor Chaitanya Giri, associate professor and environmental scientist at Flame University, an affiliate scientist as well, a consultant for space policy. Her resume is something which is absolutely formidable. Mr. Sharma, let me come to you first. Yeah. We've called it 20 minutes of terror, and that may be a bit of an exaggeration, for scientists at ISRO at Mission Control Center, things so far appear to be on track, right?
Yes. It's on track.
And therefore, could you tell us what that 20-odd minutes will entail? What exactly happens?
Yes, that is the most crucial moments of the Chandrayaan 3 mission, and specifically the lander and the rover, which has to soft launch and the moon. It is termed as 20 minutes of terror, but we scientists, we feel that every moment is a terror for us, because every moment is important, and every moment from the liftoff of July 14th till now, we have been on our toes and we have been ensuring that everything goes well and no stone is unturned till we are here, and the same tempo continues. Of course, little bit more added pressure because of the criticality in which we are operating, and also our experience with Chandrayaan 2. Therefore, based on Chandrayaan 2 experience, we have ensured that we have learned all the lessons, we have improved the lander, we have improved the algorithms, we have improved the avionics, we have improved hardware, softwares, and the firmwares. Therefore, we are very, very confident that this mission will be definitely, definitely successful. Continuing the criticality of this mission, this 15 minutes approximately, the first 5 minutes, the speed of the lander rover composite from 6,000 kilometer per hour, it has to be reduced to 1,200 kilometer per hour. That is the rough braking phase. That is really, really very important. At end of that, we would be in rough braking phase. We'll be at 1,200 kilometer per hour speed, and we will be holding there.
Okay.
Then comes the altitude hovering phase, where we'll just hover at that speed and we'll be there in that position. Then the next thing is the fine braking phase, where the velocity has to be reduced. Vertical velocity has to be reduced to zero and horizontal velocity has to be reduced to zero. That is the third phase. There are totally four phases. One is the rough braking phase, then altitude holding phase, then fine braking phase, and the next final one is the terminal descent phase. At this point,
in fact,
a lot
of what you're saying is what we are showing right now, but carry on, yes.
Yes. And at that point of time is where we have to turn the rover, which was at 90 degree, to the vertical position and then come down slowly at the rate of about 2 kilometers per second is what is, what is the criticality. The most critical aspect is also that the three sensors or the three cameras which are there on the lander, which needs to work very, synchronously and perfectly so that it gives the data to us so that there are no errors from those three cameras which we are carrying on the lander, which would guide us to the landing.
Okay.
Therefore, this is where we stand.
That's where we stand. Okay, I'll come back to you. Pallav, the rover rolls out a few hours later.
Yes.
Why?
Oh, certainly. See, when the Vikram goes in for its landing, it'll come closer to the moon surface using two engines. And when you go down using engines, there will be lunar dust which will be lifted up and comes up. And ISRO is very particular that the instrument should not get clouded over by dust. So they will wait for a few hours for the dust to move away. It will not settle down easily. The gravity on the moon is much lower. So finally, a few hours later, hopefully on this night tomorrow, roughly around this time, we should expect that the Pragyan rover would have come out, and then we would get pictures from the moon surface, which I call the first selfies from the lunar surface. I am looking forward to that moment.
Well, this is a huge selfie moment. This is the mother of all selfies.
Mother of all selfies.
As far as we are concerned. But I thought what would be interesting, Pallav, and you know, this is what you've sort of guided me on. Before I go across to my other panelists, I think it's interesting to talk about Team Chandrayaan. What exactly and who exactly they are? How have they been working through this COVID period? There were mistakes made during Chandrayaan 2. It didn't work out the way we wanted to. They needed to fix things. Now, when if it's broke, fix it. That's what they've done. They fixed it and they believe they've got a working solution. The people who are doing this are some of India's finest men and women. ISRO has excellent scientists and engineers who've made their way up through some of the highest and most difficult science in astrophysics and engineering, in avionics, in aviation, in rocketry, and many, many other fields, including basic research as well. So we've just shortlisted a few of them. Now, it is a team effort. There are many others. But here's who we've shortlisted. S. Somnath, chairman of ISRO. He is a key person. He's a rocket man. He's somebody who's worked very closely with the rocket, the Mark 3 rocket, which actually took the Chandrayaan mission to space. He is an aerospace engineer by training. As I mentioned, he helped design the launch vehicle Mark 3 rocket. And he's fluent in Sanskrit, and he's participated or been a part, acted in the film Yanam as well. Next up, Dr. Unnikrishnan Nair is the director of the Vikram Sarabhai Space Center. He heads India's premier rocket research facility. He is presently heading efforts to send an astronaut to space. And Pallav, he likes to write stories. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Nothing wrong. He will write a new history for India when an astronaut goes up.
Next up, Veeramuthuvel P. He's the project director of Chandrayaan 3. So, the project director very much, facing the heat, I suppose, in a sense. They'll deny it.
He's the person who's contributed day in, day out for last 4 years on the mission.
Responsible for every aspect of the Chandrayaan 3 mission, rectified mistakes made on the Vikram lander that crashed onto the surface of the moon in 2019. Kalpana K, Deputy Project Director, Chandrayaan 3. She's an engineer who motivated the Chandrayaan team to keep working through this entire COVID period. They had work to do. They needed to fix their engineering and science, make sure it goes right. She is a satellite expert. M. Vanita, Deputy Director of the U.R. Rao Satellite Center. She's an electronic systems engineer and was India's first woman to lead a lunar mission. And she likes to garden, right? Why not?
Lovely.
Some like to write, others like to garden. And the chairperson of ISRO, fluent in Sanskrit, keeps up with the language. He's had a stint as an actor as well. M. Sankaran, the director of the U.R. Rao Satellite Center, and he's called the man of power.
He's the powerhouse
of ISRO. He's an expert in power systems and solar arrays. Why is that important? Because Chandrayaan relies on the sun for energy. So designing solar arrays which are effective, which generate the appropriate power, which are reliable, right, and which can withstand the pressures of a moon mission or even any space mission, that is what his job was. He was told, make sure that these systems are powered up when they need to be powered up. And therefore, part of that was ensuring that all temperature conditions were looked at. Chandrayaan needs to work in hot temperatures and extremely cold temperatures as well. Next up, Dr. V. Narayanan, Director of the Liquid Propulsion Systems Center, a specialist in liquid propulsion systems. He is also someone absolutely key as far as tomorrow is concerned, because that 20 minutes of terror that we sort of talk about, he developed the thrusters that Vikram will use during its landing. That's the final phase. The speed has to come down dramatically as it makes its descent, and the thrusters which he has worked on have to work efficiently all together. You don't want an asymmetric thrust situation, and then you get that soft landing. B.N. Ramakrishna, director, he is very much the communicator, and that's what ISTRAC, that's the ISRO telemetry tracking and command network, is doing right now. They are tracking it. They are tracking the telemetry. They are collecting the data. They establish the connection between Chandrayaan 3 and Chandrayaan 2. What do you mean? I'll come to that in a moment. But they did. And that is how we are going to be getting all that information that we want. So responsible for all communication between the Vikram lander and mission control, tracks all telemetry during this mission. Let's talk about the last first, Pallav, communications. People would be asking, but Chandrayaan 2 didn't work out, then why are you referring to Chandrayaan 2?
See, Chandrayaan 2 was important. It was our first mission to try soft landing.
And the satellite is up there. That's what I'm
referring. The orbiter of the Chandrayaan 2 satellite continues to function, which is why there are enough margins on the lander so that we can have hopefully a successful soft landing. And the Chandrayaan 2 mission also gave India the confidence that if you fail, doesn't matter. You make mistakes, learn from them, get up, walk again, go all the way to the moon.
Because it's all about crawl, walk, run.
Yes.
Right? You're not going to be doing deep space missions immediately. You have to go through a process, and that process is difficult. Sometimes you pass, sometimes you fail.
True.
When you fail, you get up and do it again.
You have to do that again, and that is what ISRO is all about.
Right.
If you fail, then you get up and succeed. And that is what hopefully tomorrow would happen. And trust me, I spoke to people in ISRO today. They are cool, calm, very confident that tomorrow we will taste success.
No, Pallav,
with Chandrayaan 3.
As cool and calm.
Chandrayaan 3, the Vikram lander would land safely.
Okay. Mr. Raghunandan, I was talking about the thrusters. We worked on the thrusters. There have been modifications compared to Chandrayaan 2. But the reliability of the thrusters, ensuring that they generate appropriate thrust through that descent, is critical. Could you tell us a little bit about that process?
Yeah, well, the thrusters will play their role. I don't think the problem last time or this time are going to be with the thrusters. As I understood it last time, the problem was with the control of the descent phase, with perhaps the algorithms having an overtight margin to be able to navigate within. Mm-hmm. It's like driving a truck through an underbridge with just 1 inch margin on the side. The chances are you're going to hit the underbridge. So that's something I think was what happened last time. I don't think the problem was with the thrusters. And even this time, I think the thrusters will do their job well. The problem will be of controlling the horizontal velocity first and then controlling the descent velocity vertically. That's the job. And I think they will do their job. I'm fairly confident of that.
Professor Chaitanya Giri, we were talking about the communication setup. And I think that's important because how are we going to get any word of what happens on the moon? And as I understand it, it's going to be the orbiter of the previous Chandrayaan mission, Chandrayaan 2. Remember, the lander didn't work, viewers, but what did work and continues to work is the satellite. So that's a communications hub. Chandrayaan 3, by which I mean the Vikram lander, will communicate with that. And it's going to be the Pragyan rover, which is going to communicate with Vikram. Vikram is going to communicate with Chandrayaan 2. And Chandrayaan 2 is going to be communicating with mission controls. Is that the way it's going to work? A relay of communication?
Yeah, absolutely. So it will be a replica of what Chandrayaan 2 wanted to do in 2019. So minus the orbiter, this time we are just carrying the lander and the rover. And that's the sort of relay that is going to happen. So the signals will go up to Chandrayaan 2 orbiter. And from the orbiter, it will come to three stations. One located in Canberra, Australia. One located in Spain, Madrid. One located here in India, in Bengaluru. And then there is one located in Goldstone, California. So we are taking assistance from the Americans for the Deep Space Communications Network. They have some of the biggest antennas to receive communications. And likewise, we have one near Bangalore. So that is something that has been sorted. And what ISRO has done is it has introduced numerous redundancies. And by that, I mean they are ensuring that the lander, while it descends and while it lands, it will continue to relay signals from various different antennas that they have inserted onto both the instruments. So you are definitely going to get signals from the instruments that have touched on the ground.
Pallav, are we going to get video?
I don't know about video, but there is one small redundancy which Chaitanya talked about, which I can highlight. This time, the Vikram lander has been configured that it can speak directly to the mission control. So there are two ways. One, Vikram lander can communicate to Chandrayaan 2 orbiter, but it can also communicate directly to mission control. So Pragyan will talk to Vikram lander, and the Vikram lander can have a two-way communication, one through the orbiter, one directly. So there is a lot of redundancy. Even the computer system, which is the brain which will control the soft landing, there are two computers which have been put on board Vikram lander this time. In Chandrayaan 2, there was only one computer. So this time there are a lot of redundancies, and Chaitanya spoke about the margins. There are enough margins which have been given. And if everything else fails, there is a salvage mode. The salvage mode is, if everything is going wrong, the sensors are not working, finally it will just go down and slowly land wherever it is. And hopefully, we won't reach the salvage mode. So, enough options have been made. And like Mr. Somnath told me, that the design philosophy for Vikram lander in Chandrayaan 3 is that even if everything fails, it should still soft land on the moon's surface.
Okay.
So, we fingers crossed, everything should go right.
I'm sure it will. Dr. Sharma, again, this is what people across the country want to know. Will there be video? Yeah. Will there be pictures? Is there going to be a live feed? Is that even possible? How much time does it take for data to get from the moon to the Earth?
Yeah,
Dr. Sharma.
There will be a time lag of a few seconds.
I see.
And that the travel distance is about 5 lakh kilometers. Therefore, there is a lag of a few seconds, but really doesn't make much of a difference for the viewer, because that gets covered up. There will be live coverage where you'll be able to see the landing, as well as you'll be able to see the success of the lander soft landing, as well as the rover rolling out the next day.
So, and by that you mean video or just images?
It'll be video. You'll have the videos.
Video.
There are video cameras. Yes, there are video cameras. There are even RF links where you'll be able to see both in terms of video as well as the RF signal landing, where you'll have a confirmation much before even the video reaches.
So that's interesting, because Dr. Sharma, therefore you've worked through bandwidth issues. You've got enough bandwidth which is available to ensure streaming video. That's what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, first cut is that you will get a signal, RF signal. which will confirm you that the landing is done, everything is fine, that, you know, you'll see this is similar to what you see for other launch vehicle as well as other satellites, you will see. But actual video would take some time, few seconds of lag, but you will see the videos also.
Maybe I should get ISRO into my house. I don't get a proper 5G signal at home. They're doing it on the moon.
That is what ISRO is for India.
All right. Before I go across to my other panelists, and I know Dr. Kesan is waiting, let's just talk through a couple of important aspects of this. So let's have some video which plays, firstly, of the rocket launch itself. We're talking about the end game over here, but if we don't talk about the rocket, then I think we're missing a trick. So let's just bring out the Mark III rocket. It's a variant of the JSLV, 100% track record. It is, as Pallav describes it, an extremely elegant machine. It's evolved over a period of time. Indian engines over here, an Indian cryogenic stage over here. It doesn't have the power to go direct to the moon, which is why ISRO scientists did some smart calculating. Once the rocket released the payload, which was the Chandrayaan satellite itself with the Vikram lander and the Pragyan rover inside its tummy, as it were, that had to increase its orbit, gain altitude in terms of its orbit around the Earth, finally being slingshotted in the direction of the moon, where it captured the gravity of the moon and then progressively the altitude being brought down. So this is shortly after liftoff. You'll see the stages of the engine actually cut out and move away. And again, live video over there. This is when this took place. There was live video. This was live video as well. The fairing moving away. And then ultimately, the Chandrayaan 3 separation and another angle of the Chandrayaan 3. And I found this angle was lovely because, you know, I mean, the color, it was fairly lucid. Yes. So hopefully we'll see a lot more of this going forward. Dr. Sharma, another elementary question. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I mean, I have a kiddish fascination for this. Is the video that we are going to see...
You asked me a question. Want to clarify you.
Yes, yes, go ahead, sir.
Very recently, ISRO has released a video. You please remember that we have the orbiter from Chandrayaan 2.
Yes.
The orbit from Chandrayaan 2. Yeah, I'm not getting the video.
No, we'll get, we don't have that Chandrayaan 2 right now. But will it be in color, sir, yeah. Dr. Sharma? Will the video that we see be in color? Okay, we'll just fix the line with him. But let's just, Dr. Sharma, can you hear me? Will the video that we get, will it be in color? Or because we've been grown up seeing black and white images come from the moon. Will we see the lander in color? All right, we'll come back to him in a moment. Will we, Pallav?
I don't know. ISRO has not specified whether we will get video, whether we will get still pictures. We will definitely get to know when the Vikram has soft landed and how much later they release a video and the still images. We'll have to wait and watch. The timeline has
white,
not.
The space would be black, but the only color element, presumably, the lander and Pragyan itself.
True,
so that would be.
See, when it goes in for its landing operation, the critical thing is to get the landing right. Get streaming video from there is not a priority when you're going in for a soft landing. That can always come back as a package file later. So don't worry. You will get the information, and for me personally, getting a soft landing would be the best bet.
My interests. All right, Dr. Srimati Kesan, as Pallav tries to sort of bring us under control, how are all the kids at Space Kids looking at this? They must be delighted and completely enthused about what they're going to see tomorrow.
Before that, I have to say this to you, Soam. A reminder of the 1983 World Cup. Once tongue tastes success, tongue wants more.
Kapil Dev. Kapil Dev's classic line, yes.
So, we are just thinking about that. Well, the kids are so excited. And in fact, we have our own tracking station in Chennai, the SkyTrack. And we have a 5-meter dish and we've got the feed and everything. So, we are gearing up for a live streaming of the landing. And we've got about 100 children coming over to our tracking station. And we're going to be having a lot of interactive sessions and quizzes and everything. So it's going to be a historic moment with children. So it's fun, super fun, I should say.
It is, absolutely. So I'll tell you what, let's just bring out, you know, this animation of the Vikram landing and the Pragyan rollout. So let's just roll that animation and we can start talking about that. So this is before the actual 20 minutes of terror, the descent onto the moon actually begins. This is interesting because Vikram is smart. Vikram knows where to land. It's got pre-fed images. And as it makes its final descent, it compares the surface of the moon as it quote-unquote sees it with the pre-fed images that it has. This ensures that if there are any obstacles, Vikram can make course corrections. And the images themselves have been provided by Chandrayaan 2, which, as we've mentioned, is orbiting the moon itself. So, Professor Giri, this part of the mission is interesting because Vikram is a smart machine. It's not just, you know, it doesn't just land where you tell it to. It actually decides if that's the best spot.
You know, to put it simply, we talk about artificial intelligence and machine learning. And we don't think about a spacecraft being an artificially intelligent run, you know, machine. That's not the case. So Vikram is that. So when I said in my earlier intervention that ISRO has introduced all the possible redundancies, these redundancies are not only mechanical, but they are also into the software of the system. And as you rightly put out, the images that are being right now clicked by the lander, it is helping them identify the right location because you don't want to hit a boulder on the moon. The moon is not a flat terrain. It's really choppy and rocky. So it's trying to identify the best location. And with a great precision, it was going to land tomorrow evening. So that will be something worth watching. And what I'm more excited about is the scientific results that we are not yet talking about.
No, not yet.
Because not yet. So we only have 14 days, and having worked on a mission as such in the past, I can tell you that that is something on the mind next after a successful landing, that you need to fulfill all the scientific targets that you've chalked for all the six missions, or the six, when I say six mission, we mean mission for every instrument that is on the lander as well as on the rover. So that is something to, you know, wait for.
Okay. Mr. Raghunandan, let's talk a little bit about the science. What are we trying to get out of this mission beyond the soft landing and the rover rollout?
Yeah. Well, I think there are three major aspects that the science will like to throw more light on. One, of course, is the old point of interest of the presence of water ice on the moon. We would like to get far more information on that than we had earlier. The second is to understand the moon's mineralogy, the various minerals on the surface of the moon, which the rover will pick up and analyze and send back to Earth to understand the composition of the moon's surface and what it may contain. Now, this is very interesting science. It will tell us about the origins of the moon, etc. But there is also some interest in maybe future exploration, possible use of different materials on the moon for different purposes. The third aspect, which I find very interesting, is to understand the very thin atmosphere that there is on the moon. This is something which Chandrayaan 1 had understood when it sent the impactor probe. It hit the moon's surface, it threw up dust, which was then analyzed. And that part of it, I think, would be of interest, the plasma analyzer, to look at the very thin atmosphere close to the surface of the moon, which does exist, and we would like to get more of an idea of that. To my mind, these are the three major areas which I am sort of looking forward to finding more about.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. and come back with a lot more, including, I believe, the Prime Minister getting set to speak in South Africa. He's at the BRICS summit, but he will join in tomorrow as well, assuming there is a success. In fact, he'll join in irrespective. But we'll take a short break, come back with more of this, and also our conversation with the BRICS Sherpa in South Africa. But do stay tuned. There's more of Chandrayaan coming up. Well, it's not just India. The world is closely watching the progress of Chandrayaan 3. The well-known Indian-born American computer scientist and director of America's mega science funding agency, Professor Sethuraman Panchanathan, who's here in India, director of the National Science Foundation, wishes good luck to the Vikram lander. He spoke to Pallav earlier on in the day. He controls a budget of a whopping $10 billion for fostering science and technology.
This is an exciting moment for India. It's an exciting moment for the globe. Whenever science, technology, and innovation makes possible amazing things, which is beyond the imagination sometimes, that's what makes it so special. Science, technology, and innovation makes possible amazing discoveries and inventions that makes possible societal and economic prosperity. But in this case, it makes possible exploration of the universe. And so very excited for the moment and wishing the very best and all the good luck for this mission.
Now, Vikram lander, when it lands, it is landing nearer the south pole of the moon. And one of India's satellites found the presence of water molecules, which was an Indo-US work. So by exploring nearer the south pole, will it help?
No, I think it is very, very helpful, because you talked about finding water molecules. What it does is it shows potential for life as life on Earth. And more importantly, what you do with water is you get hydrogen as a fuel. So using moon as a stop to go to other places, to explore Mars and beyond, this is very, very helpful. So locating these kinds of precious resources is exceedingly important in exploration, in space exploration. So this is a very special moment, as I said earlier, in this lander being able to find things like that and also validate what others have found, including the United States.
ISRO and NASA inked the Artemis Accords. How does Artemis Accords help India? How does it help USA? How does it help the world?
It's a great question. I mean, if you look at the amazing visit, the state visit of Prime Minister Modi and President Biden meeting together, President Biden is a huge advocate for science, technology, and innovation, particularly making possible opportunities for everyone in the United States. And so is Prime Minister Modi, using science, technology, innovation for progress. So there's a lot of commonality and excitement. And therefore, the two coming together really says a lot about how these two nations, large democracies, can work together for the benefit of humanity and for global good. Now, talking about Artemis Accords is one manifestation of such thinking. How might United States and India work together through the Artemis Accords and other frameworks so that we might then work together on such grand challenge experiments and giant challenge opportunities to be able to create real impact? Real impact in core science technology, but also real impact for the benefit of humanity.
So do you think it's a good idea to revisit the moon and have a permanent habitation, which is what the Artemis program is expecting to do very soon?
Absolutely. There's no question about that, because we are always, as humans, fundamentally we are explorers. You know, right from when you're a kid, you are crawling and exploring, touching objects and so on. We are fundamentally explorers. And therefore, this exploration journey never stops. It should never stop. That's what makes us invent amazing things, make amazing discoveries, make great things possible. Clearly, therefore, going to the moon and then going beyond moon to Mars are all things as humans. That's who we are. That's our DNA. And therefore, it's a great thing.